Does your family's schedule look like an endless list of appointments, games, and practices? Does keeping everyone on schedule feel impossible? The Skylight Calendar is here to put an end to your scheduling stress with its all-in-one shared display, visual structure, and color-coded scheduling. Right now, Skylight is offering our listeners $30 off their 15-inch calendars by going to myskylight.com/get30. Go to myskylight.com/get30 for $30 off your 15-inch calendar. That's myskylight.com/get30.
My name is Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big week of European action and brace ourselves for the return of the domestic stuff. Rangers beat Sparta Prague with Philippe Clement praising the speed at which his players have embraced his methods. Aberdeen bow out of the Conference League despite an impressive draw away to Palk. And Celtic will be without Daizen Maeda for 6 weeks, with Brendan Rodgers admitting he'd be happy to get rid of VAR. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans.
Well, I wholeheartedly agree with Brendan Rodgers on the subject of VAR. The sooner we are rid of it, the better. But I fear it is with us and is here to stay. And it never rains but it pours for Celtic. The VAR decision that saw Daizen Maeda sent off has now turned into an injury for Maeda that will keep him out for 6 weeks, and that will be a big blow to Celtic. Yet another long-term injury as a resurgent Rangers hover in the background.
And I'm going to take you back to just over a year ago when VAR came in. And I sat here and I says it will only increase the carnage. And now we've got managers north and south of the border hoping that it gets taken away and out of your game, and stop the time lapses for decisions and stop all this. Carry on, just let the referees make the mistake. But anyway, Rangers, yep, brilliant result. Good first half performance last night. Definite improvements under Philippe Clement. Not so good for Celtic, obviously, but a really, really harsh decision to send Daizen Maeda off at a crucial point of the game.
But here's the thing. We still have an element of control. We don't have to argue about VAR for 2 hours. Of course we can discuss it, but it doesn't need to be the only thing. We can wrestle back control and discuss other things as well. It's 0141 951 1025. If we are starting last night, Rangers fans, it's quite simple. What did you make of it? What are you making of the early stages? We're still obviously learning about Philippe Clement, learning about his ways, learning about his methods and his style. So how happy were you with the performance, the result? Are you seeing more and more what he's trying to do? Which players are flourishing? Are there still any that you think are getting left behind a bit? You can share your thoughts on that as well. We're going to hear his comments on the speed at which his players are picking up the improvements. So what do you make of that turnaround? Let us know, please, on 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, again, it's a simple question. How big a blow is it to be without Daizen Maeda for 6 weeks? And who is the main contender to fill that void? I think if you were all picking your strongest 11, he would be in it. So the fact that he's unavailable for 6 weeks, who would you pick? Who's in the driving seat? Is it time for Yang to come to the fore and show what he can do? Is it time to go for the experience of James Forrest? Is it open to something different? Again, let us know. 0141 951 1025. And if we must, Brendan Rodgers, Stephen Robinson, numerous managers and pundits and players and fans all over the globe are fed up of VAR. So you can maybe give us your latest thoughts on that. It doesn't even need to be incident specific. I feel like we've maybe hit a bit of a a tipping point in recent weeks. This isn't about your team getting this or that team getting that. I think there's just an overall sort of feeling of apathy at the moment. So 01419511025. Looking ahead to the weekend's action, looking back on Europe, it has been another busy week, Hugh Keevans, and this weekend will be no quieter.
Yeah, well, if I can go to Sunday and then back to Saturday, Sunday now becomes highly intriguing. You've got Rangers, resurgent Rangers. You were asking who has improved, every one of them under Philippe Clement. Those who are being slaughtered on this programme are now being praised to the skies on this programme. They will go to Livingston and win because Livingston have hit the skids. Then Celtic will kick off at 2:15 against an Aberdeen team who have had 2 days less recovery time than Celtic following their European matches. How badly, if at all, will that affect them?
And a good shift they put in, by the way. Credit to them. I know the European journey is over, but you know, overall, some of the performances have been pretty good, haven't they?
Yeah, a good old-fashioned Scottish heroic failure on the part of Aberdeen, but nonetheless praiseworthy. I look at tomorrow's matches. Hearts need a result. Stephen Naismith needs a result. But they're at Motherwell, who fought back at Perth and overcame a two-goal deficit. And then, of course, Avro's uncle has the St Johnston Ross County game to watch tomorrow. Again, St Johnston squandered that 2-goal lead at Perth midweek. And that's before we get to Hibs. Not a win under Nick Montgomery as yet, but they get another chance tomorrow at home to Kilmarnock. And St Mirren upset in midweek, but they can go to Dundee for what looks like one of the best games of the day.
Right, come on then. Rangers fans, what did you make of last night? What are the differences you're seeing? Celtic fans, how big a blow is the absence of Maeda? Brendan Rodgers wants to get rid of VAR, or would get rid of VAR. St Mirren fans, Stephen Robinson agrees. Aberdeen played last night. Big games across the place at the weekend. Let's get stuck in with Justin, who's on the line. Justin, how do you reflect on Ibrox last night?
Outstanding, to be honest with you. Absolutely outstanding. It's watching a team 4 weeks ago to last night is, I'm not short of a miracle, to be honest with you. So watching two different teams. I'd have been keen to understand Denny's thoughts, obviously, as a very fit player who took care of himself all through his career. Noticing the difference last night in the press and the speed and the energy that they seem to have for the first whistle, at least for the first 30, 40 minutes, was, I think it blew Sparta right off the bat. I don't think they were expecting it. I think it was the energy, the press, and just the tenacity that the Rangers seemed to have for the first whistle was impressive. I'd be keen to see if Kenny thought he's noticing the fitness levels changing, or a difference between Michael Beale's team and Clement's team, and that was come through.
Justin's line's gone a bit at the end, but we certainly got the gist of it. You noticing difference?
Listen, again, see in terms of the fitness, everybody can improve in fitness. That's just a fact. Whether you're super fit or whether you're struggling a little bit, you can always improve. What I would say is it can be the demand that the manager puts on you to carry out certain instructions. You seen last night with it, and by the way, the personnel that you have available to you as well. So Danilo last night, He can run quicker than Dessers. I think that's pretty clear. You know, so when he's pressing, he looks quicker. There looks like there's a higher intensity towards it. And again, it puts the defender, who had a really bad night, by the way, under real pressure to then give up the first goal. I also think when you look at the Seema, he can run really fast. He's powerful. He can Cantwell up on that side as well. So rather than Lammers maybe being there as well, you've got guys that can press, and they can press in real intensity. And what that can lead to is what happened against Hibs as well, is winning the ball a lot higher up the field, and then you've got far shorter to go towards the goal. Last night, they were excellent. I think the energy within the performance was good. The quality within the performance was good. I do think it's the team building confidence. It's Philippe Clement right in saying that he's making strides forward in relation to the improvements. I also do think it's down to these players, the best players that he's going to have available to him, getting back fit and being on the field to play.
It has to be a very simple thing. Michael Beale was not capable of getting out of these players what Philippe Clement can get out of them. And that's the difference between a very experienced title-winning manager from Belgium and someone that Rangers fell for, who had very little experience in management, and it showed. So every player has got better. Everything about Rangers is better than it was under Michael Beale, and they are without doubt a team with momentum and confidence, and they will beat Aris Limassol with ease at Ibrox, and they will be in Europe beyond Christmas.
The Rangers fans are enjoying this. They don't need your predictions. This is, it's weeks away. They don't need your predictions to ruin their night at
I
this moment in time.
I don't care what they need. I know what I want to tell them.
What are you, any, are there any kind of players in particular that you think are thriving, Justin, or look noticeably different or improved?
The biggest one for me last night, I don't know what the guys thought, but Ben Davis I thought was phenomenal last night. I thought his aerial duels, he was aggressive, he looked sharp, he looked on it. That was a big sign for me. But like the guys have said, every player just seemed to have an extra yard in them last night, and the energy and the intensity was impressive. The only one, I hate to go on about it, but the only one that seemed a wee bit lacklustre was Dessers when he came on. Still seemed a yard off it, but as I say, for me, Ben Davis, Connor Golson, the defence last night looked solid, strong, aggressive. Even Barisic, for once, I'm a big kind of critic of him, but he seemed to be chasing things down. He seemed full of energy. He seemed to be running the line, which he's not done for a while. Every ball before seemed to go back the way under Michael Beale. Now he's going forward again, looking for forward passes. It was just an impressive performance. It was a wee bit squeaky bum time for the last 20 minutes, but certainly for the first 40-50 minutes, I was massively impressed. Massively.
And that last bit then, does that just come from the fact that, you know, this is a work in progress? It is early. You possibly can't keep that level of intensity up for the full game. Is that why it got maybe nervier than it could have or should have at the end?
Well, they're 2-0 up, and it's a natural reaction to think, right, okay, we've got a healthy lead here at the moment. We're playing very, very well. Again, what you can't underestimate is that there's another team on the side, other side of this as well. By the way, a very good team that they showed a few weeks back as well, where they absolutely dominated Rangers. And Rangers, again, for me, really highlights how important that point was that night against Prague, when Prague probably should have won the game quite comfortably. But yeah, so there was that as well. They turned up more in the second half. Rangers' levels maybe dropped a little bit, but like you say, you can't always get to that level. But what's important when the other team's having their good moment, that you defend resolutely, you're dogged.
They took off the one guy that was having the worst night in the history of football,
which was incredible.
Rangers fans, did you actually end up feeling sorry for Gomez at the back? It was one of those Hugh Keevens.
Of course not. No fan will feel sorry for him. They'd be delighted he was hopeless. But right at the end, you know, and Justin's talking about squeaky bum time, right at the end, Jack Butland once again proves that you can't beat having a very good goalkeeper. There was that save that prevented the sucker punch. So everything about Rangers night was a positive.
It's just the reliability, isn't it, Kenny? It's not about making these like outrageous world class saves. Can't believe he's kept that out. It's just kind of known that he'll do it if called upon.
There's a few things with Jack Butland. He's capable of making these saves. There's no doubt about it, and he has done in his short Rangers career. But what he's also doing is he's doing the things that maybe go that little bit unnoticed. He's coming for the crosses. He's slowing the game down. When there's a game to be managed at the end of it, he's directing his defenders, no, go up the field. I'm kicking into that corner. We're going to see this game out. He's a leader. He's got experience. He's got the quality. And he's been the perfect signing to come in. And I know he's talked about the goalies of the past, the Rangers. Well, he's coming into this the conversation, even at this early stage. But last night, again, his game management and the smaller things, the smaller details, he's just doing everything right at the moment.
Thank you to Justin. What about Lee then? You as impressed as your fellow Rangers fan there, Lee?
Hello, guys. I am absolutely delighted the way things have gone since Clements came in. I just think, as a fan watching Rangers, it's enjoyable again. Because at the start of the season, it wasn't enjoyable. You just felt as if you just knew it was going to implode at one point, and obviously it did. But since he's come in, it's just been a lot more enjoyable. I like what he says in press conferences. He doesn't really say much. It's just quite funny about it. He doesn't say much. He doesn't give a lot away, but you can see it in the players as well, that they're responding to it. They seem happier. They seem, we know what we're doing here. And I think as a player, like, it's all right giving players tactics and saying you need to do this, you do that. Like, the players need to understand what they're doing. And most importantly, they need to be enjoying what they're doing. And they are doing it. And I've got nothing but nothing but good things to say about the big man. Obviously, more tests are going to come in time. It's only the start of his reign at Ibrox, and it's gone brilliant. I've only got one small criticism, and it's no... I can understand why he's playing him, and I'm not trying to be negative here. Is I don't think Lammers is often enough in the Rangers' shirt, and I see the guy talking and think he seems like a nice guy. It's not a personal problem, I guess, though. But there's got to come a time where he can't start. Maybe he has started just now because he's not really got a choice, because obviously Lawrence has just come back from injury and things. But have you seen it last night? The team were brilliant. I mean, the intensity they played it. I mean, the difference the Neagle's played since he's been playing up front instead of out in the left when Michael Beale was there, it just makes us look a lot better team. But Ross McCausland came on last night, and in 15 minutes, he offered more than Lammers in the full game. And I just feel that if we can get a good player in that position where Lammers is playing, I think we're going to be a really, really good team. And I'm sorry, I just want to ask Kenny this, because Kenny obviously played for Rangers, and Kenny was a really, really good player for Rangers. I mean, he always delivered in old firms and things, so he was a big game player for Rangers under Walter Smith.
See, that's
all I keep talking, Paul. You're
too
right.
Much,
keep
too talking. Much unwarranted praise for Kenny Miller. You were going to ask, I think, about, you know, Lammers. Look, you don't need to go digging around and find negatives on what was largely a positive night. If you were looking for one player that still maybe needs to get up to speed with the rest, is it now him? Because the Dessers has not got the burden on him anymore because he's not playing. Danilo is, but Lammers is still in there. He's still got a bit to go.
I think so. I think he's still going this, and he scored a wonderful goal last week up at Dens. And by the way, he's not doing too much wrong in terms of last night's performance. It was a strong team performance, and it's probably harsh to kind of single someone out for. And it's no criticism. It's like you say, it's just, can he be given more? What I think you'll find in the coming weeks is, once Tom Lawrence is fit and up to speed, once Nico Raskin's back in as well in the team, or he's available for selection, Philippe Clement will have a few decisions to make. And
maybe Scott Wright all of a sudden.
Scott Wright might
who
again
would have thought it?
He's came into the reckoning as well. So there is going to be options there. So it's not going to be as clear cut as these guys are just going to be selected to play.
There was a touch of classic Clement last night when Danilo and Todd Cantwell were doing a bit of Strictly Come Dancing in celebration of a goal, and the manager saying, "Get up the park." You know,
I can imagine you two doing that after the full time teaser
exactly.
tonight.
After one of us has done Beat the Pundit, definitely.
The dance routine. Yeah.
But that's classic Clement. Get up the park, never mind your celebrations. And, you know, as Lee has pointed out, in press conferences, it beats Hearts to get into the Viaplay Cup final. First thing he says, "Don't think that's the cup won. We've only just won this game, and the cup final is still to come, and I'm not even thinking about that." Then he wins last night, and he immediately says, "We've won nothing yet. Just let's keep going, and Limassol to come next."
Thank you very much to Lee, 01419511025. More reaction to last night if you wish. Celtic fans, Brendan Rodgers spoke today. Daizen Maeda out for 6 weeks. How big a blow is that? And he's got some interesting thoughts on VAR as well. So whatever tickles your fancy, now's the time to share it. 01419511025.
At Arizona State University, we're bringing world-class education from our globally acclaimed faculty to you. Earn your degree from the nation's most innovative university. Online. That's a degree better. Learn more at asuonline.asu.edu.
The voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans are here on 0141 951 1025. Been a busy couple of days in Scottish football. Always interesting on a Friday when we get to hear from some of the managers as well. Celtic fans, what are you thinking about the absence of Daizen Maeda? 6 weeks out, and Brendan Rodgers admitting if it was up to him, he'd get rid of VAR altogether. I wonder what you make of those comments. Let's hear from Philippe Clement. He says he's never seen a team improve as fast as his side have done over the past month. Of course, you know, it's an unbeaten start, 5 wins out of his 6 games in charge.
We're not working with robots or machines. We're working with people. You don't know what's going to happen, how somebody reacts, what's happening in his private life or in football. There are so many situations that we don't control. We like to control everything that we can control in a football club. And for the moment, it's because of the players are really focused, really concentrated every meeting, that they're making really big steps forward in a fast time. And I have to say, this is the fastest way that the team reacted until now when I was working somewhere, because of their concentration. Maybe also because they come from a very low and deep point, and that they realize they need this.
Let's bring in John on the line, see what he thinks. John, how's it going?
Evening panel.
How are you? You well?
I'm absolutely overjoyed at the work Philip Coumont has done for this team. I think everybody, for the Rangers fans, and including myself, were almost in full hope when Michael Beale was towards the end with Michael Beale. And he's brought the fans back, and he's brought the team back as well. It's a completely night and day situation for the team. I've just loved seeing what the guy's doing, getting through the next stage of Europe. But he's making it very, very hard not to get carried away and say, well, I think we can get the league now.
Let's get pernickety over one of the footballing cliches that does around. Is it as extreme as night and day? It's obviously improved. Is it as extreme as night and day?
I think if you go back to the reaction when Michael Beale lost to a weakened Celtic side at Ibrox, and the storm that followed Aberdeen's win at Ibrox, yes, it is night and day compared to that. He is Clement, the blue Postecoglou. He has come in and he has transformed the club. It took Ange Postecoglou 6 games. He won 3, he lost 3, and then he dominated Scottish football after 6 games. And Philippe Clement has transformed Rangers. I think it is night and day so far.
Yeah. I think if you pick the absolute low points sort of Michael Beale to illustrate your point, then that's an accurate statement, Kenny. I just wonder if this is not designed to take anything away from Philippe Clement. There's been an obvious improvement that I don't think you could deny it. But if you're talking about last night in isolation, Rangers already beat Betis in the group. They drew 2-2 at home with PSV Eindhoven. Yes, we all know what happened away. It feels like Rangers... issues or the occasions in which Philippe Clement is going to have to improve them probably aren't nights like last night. It's that sort of run of the mill stuff that Hugh mentions, Aberdeen coming, or some of the games that were Michael Beale's undoing and were Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's undoing as well, because again he got them to a European final.
Well, listen, you've just taken the words right out of my mouth.
Sorry.
I'm going to go back to when Steven Gerrard left, and apparently the team is getting a bit stale, even though there were 6 points top of the clear at the top of the league. Giovanni comes in and there was a improved reaction, there's better energy, then Giovanni was stale at the start of last season. Michael came in and got a response, and by the way, won all the start of his games as well and beat everybody in front of him. And like you say, Gio took the team to a European final. The team's better at this moment in time. There's a better energy. They're performing better as individuals. As a team, they look more united. I'm going to say it again, I think the players had to take a bit of responsibility for what had happened to previous managers, not just Michael, but if they can not put the tools away, because I know that was getting thrown at them a lot of time, or not trying, but they were just maybe not as energised as much as what they are since Philippe Clement came in. And what there's been is everything he's done, he's had to do. He's won the league games whilst, by the way, sometimes playing not too well, like he did at Hearts, against Hearts at Ibrox, where Hearts for long spells looked like they were going to win. He got the job done. Away in Prague, never played particularly well, but got a really, really important point now, particularly off the back of last night. So in every competition that he's got, he's in a really, really good place at this moment in time. And he's in a place to improve. That's the best time to be driving things and driving standards. It's where you're actually at a good moment, you know, so he can now push this team even further.
Two Johns on the line, one in Cambuslang and one in Cumbernauld. That's confusing me. Who did we speak to initially? It was Cumbernauld, wasn't it? So definitely, John, you're taking from what you've seen already as a sort of confirmation that this title race is very much on for you.
I really do. It's similar to the feeling under Steven Gerrard. You can feel it building to something, that if you get what I mean. You can see just even in the players' energy when they're on the pitch, they're playing with a different energy, and when they're coming off the pitch, they're not hanging their heads down anymore. They're fighting for everything now. It's maybe they'll just come on. It's the players acclimating to what he's wanting, and them acclimating to them. There's only so much you can do until January comes in
and he'll probably get one or two people in that he's wanting. But I think he's got things that he plays that we never got to otherwise.
There are 26 games left to be played by Celtic and 27 to be played by Rangers. That's an awful lot of points. It would be foolhardy to say that the league is over when you have two-thirds of the season to go. So, of course, the league is still a matter for conjecture and debate.
Yeah, that doesn't need to be a big controversial statement, does it? Regardless of who's managing who or whatever, if you know, same amount of games, if it was to go to 5 points.
The season has taken a dramatic turn when you consider that Rangers lost first game out at Kilmarnock, the defeat from Celtic, the defeat from Aberdeen. The season has taken a dramatic turn. Michael Beale was on the way towards losing the league, and possibly by a distance. That has now changed course.
Thank you to John in Cumbernauld. John in Canvas Lang, what are you thinking?
Evening panel, Gordon, Hugh and Kenny. As I was saying to your producer, Chris, watching the game last night, and when Ross McCausland came on, the energy, he just gave Ibrox a lift. I feel the few games I've seen him play for Rangers, he looks a player. He's got an eye for a pass. Two passes last night could have been goals for Rangers if they had their shooting boots on. Somebody had two chances, and I know he's out of contract at the end of the season, so I think it's imperative that we look at extending his contract, because he's a player that's kind of be far away from getting a start. It could possibly be Sunday starts, and maybe move him out in the wing. Lammers doesn't play, then you bring Cantwell in Lammers' position, and I feel he's just the energy and the first touch for the boy. I know he's no 20, he's not young, but he's took his chance when he's come on in the games, and getting him signed up, I think, is imperative.
Did you just come on here to a guy who turns 74 in 2 days and say 20 is not young? Yeah. Honestly, it's how to make friends with Hugh Keevans.
Clement obviously understands the importance of McCausland, and he is now in the hands of people who take those decisions and who put forward the terms to someone like McCausland. As he always says, Philippe Clement, he can only influence the things that he can influence. And contracts, that's not his department. But I think he will have said to those who do look after that side of Rangers business, I want him to stay. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
What did you make of him when he came on, Kenny? And how much is the challenge in scenarios like this to impress, then hopefully get a chance, and then keep doing it when Tom Lawrence is fully fit and Todd Cantwell's fully firing, and if Sam Lammers picks up, because, you know, there are numbers in there, I suppose, that he's need to compete with. Rabbi Matondo comes back.
Well, what happens when these guys are missing is people got opportunities. What McCausland's done is take that opportunity. Every single time he's came on, he's impacted the game in a positive sense. And last night was probably the biggest impact that he's had in relation to the passes that John is referring to. They were absolutely outstanding passes. Firstly, the one with the right foot that slid through the defensive line was, I mean, firstly, to see that is a big thing, but then to go and execute the pass the way he did, and then the presence of mind he had when he cut in is actually, when you watch it back, he just kind of delayed the pass as well with his left foot, I think it was Seymour that he put in, and he just kind of slid it down the other side of the defender and right into the path of Seymour. You know, he's really impacted the game in a positive way. The next step's to get a start, you know, like you say, is that, or John says, that might come Sunday. You know, it might, and I love his thinking as well in terms of putting Cantwell into the 10 and bringing him into that kind of right wing area. So he's taken his opportunity. What I think you'll find now is he will be part of Philippe Clement's squad. Mm-hmm. And there's no doubt by him. I'll take it actually away from Hugh. Yeah, he is in control of that. He might not be in control in negotiating the terms of the contract, but he can be saying, this lad is part of my squad. We need to get him signed up. So it's... He's really impressed, because people are saying, is he ready for a start? And I was at that, well, I'm not too sure, it needs to be earned. I think he's earned an opportunity now, definitely, to be part of Philippe Clement's squad moving forward.
Thank you very much to John. Let me run this past you before we go any further. Clyde One. Make me a winner. No answer again on Make Me a Winner today. It went to five rings unanswered, so we miss out on the chance to end the week with a winner. But don't worry, it's now over to you. You could be the winner of £112,000 on Monday when we make the call. but you need to be in the draw. We've teamed up with our stations across the UK to bring you this incredible amount. So text YES to 61025, YES to 61025. It's £2 to text plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com online for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It is over 18s only. And the good news is, if you've entered since Doogie won on Wednesday, your entry is still in the draw. You don't need to enter again. But to everyone else, get involved. All the rules for this network competition are online. And the important bit, if you get the call after 3pm on Monday, answer within five rings, say, make me a winner straight away, and £112,000 would be yours. So text YES to 61025. And if you want to give us a call right now, please do. Celtic fans, how big a blow is it to lose Daizen Maeda for 6 weeks? Who would you give the nod to take his place? And what about Brendan Rodgers saying he'd be happy to get rid of VAR?
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller is here, so is Hugh Keevans on 0141 951 1025. They are desperate for you to join in, so why not give them a call or send them a tweet as well at Clyde SSB. Let's hear a bit from Brendan Rodgers, and I'm keen to get your thoughts on this, Celtic fans. How big a blow is the absence of Daizen Maeda? Who would you have take his place? Who's in the driving seat? Is it Yang? Is it James Forrest? Is it some reshuffle that we've not considered? Get all your ideas over to us. And he's also got some interesting comments on VAR as well. Let's start with the injury news though. And he says, in his mind of course, Daizen Maeda's absence 6 weeks will be a huge loss.
Daizen Maeda will probably be, Daizen probably be up to 6 weeks out with the injury from the challenge. So he's sort of strained his medial knee ligament, which comes from when you just knock a player on the foot. If he was in stronger in the challenge, he probably wouldn't have had the injury. So just a clash of feet, it's just opened up his knee ligament. So so it's a big shame for us, because he's been brilliant for me since I came here. The irony is that as soon as the red card went up, their player miraculously got up off the floor. So but Dyson's out for 6 weeks or so, so so it's a disappointment for us. It's a big loss, because his attitude and mentality going into every game is superb. He initiates the pressure for us at the top end. But I always say it's an opportunity for someone else to come in and take that opportunity to play.
You can't replicate Maeda. There's no one like him at Celtic Park. Also, at the start of the season, your front three would have been Daizen Maeda, Kyogo and Lila Bada. So two of those are now lost to Brendan Rodgers. In a season when plenty of long-term injuries, you've still got Navrotsky out, Lagabielka appears to have vanished, and Tilio was signed in June, and he's still not played, and we're almost in December. So it's been a tough one for Brendan Rodgers, and who takes his place? Probably Yang, who, for me, flatters to deceive. Maybe James Forrest, who, you know, we all said last week what a servant he'd been to the club, scoring in 15 consecutive seasons. And there'll be others in the frame. Mikey Johnson might even get a look in. But it's a big blow, because there is no Daizen Maeda 2.
I'm going to campaign as well to change the way we report injury news, because we always talk about weeks. I wonder if you should do games, because 6 weeks at another time of the year might not be as extreme as it is now. You're looking at about 9 games in that 6 week period. So that,
so you want to control the language,
yes,
at the managers,
if you all don't mind. I just think it's better. It gives us a greater sense of urgency and severity as to this absence. So what does that take us up to, just before Christmas, looking at 9 games potentially? That's a lot for, as Hugh says, a department that maybe hasn't got that obvious replacement, and if Abada's out and so on.
And what it can also mean is it can also take you maybe a that little bit longer to get back to where you were before, you know. So it's a crucial loss for Celtic, like you say, particularly this time of season. Offensively, he gives it, as much as technical ability might be a little bit limited, he's not maybe as good as a Forrest or a Palma or an Abada, or definitely not a Jota who exited in the summer. But what he brings is really, really good pace. His movement is excellent off that left side as well. But it's the other side of the game. his pressing, his energy, his work ethic is second to me. You say there's nobody like him at Celtic, there's probably nobody like him in our country, you know, in terms of how he plays. So, so it'll be a big, big loss, but like we've just talked about Rangers there, it's an opportunity for somebody to come in and now get regular game time.
And what is the opportunity then, Daniel? Have you got a solution? Brendan Rodgers, he's looking for inspiration. You're his man. What advice are you giving him?
I think there's maybe an option of putting Kyogo out on the left-hand side and bringing O up front. As much as that's taking Kyogo out of his position, you know, he's scoring all these goals, I think that, you know, it could give us an option up front that's maybe different to what we've had before.
I love this because I don't even care if you agree, but I just like the fact that it's thoughtful. You can just go, I just put Yang in, shrug your shoulders, move on. Daniel's got a solution.
Well, it doesn't work.
Well, do you think taking the 30-goal man out of his natural habitat is the wrong call?
I think that's a bad idea.
Yeah, me as well.
Call me old-fashioned, but that's a bad idea. And even Ange Postecoglou admitted that he got it wrong when he played Kyogo in that position and lost to Rangers at Ibrox in his first season. Is no Kyogo. So that's not the solution, Daniel. Here's the drawing board. Go back to it.
Do you not think, but it's a different, you know, goal situation from, you know, when Postecoglou was here in the first game at Ibrox to now?
No, the situation hasn't changed at all. Kyogo is the best goal scorer at Celtic. He may not be on fire right now, but he's still the best goal scorer at Celtic Park. So to move him out of that position on a voluntary basis doesn't fly, Daniel.
I feel like that logic is probably more important than that one failed day way back. I do take Daniel's point in that things have changed and you've seen Kyogo do different things and there's different personnel in the building. But I'm not sure that's enough to make you agree with it.
It's only a couple of weeks ago we're actually saying Celtic need to sign a striker in January to replace Kyogo when he's not fit or not available because O's maybe not just done it at this moment in time. So if you're taking Kyogo out of the main role, the number nine, the main goal getter, not just of Celtic but the top scorer in the league, and putting him in a position he's not going to be as effective, then you're also playing a guy who's not effective as him in that role. You're diminishing two positions. You can't afford to do that when you're missing big players. You need to keep your main man at the number nine, the focal point of the team, and you need to find a solution to then replace the injured Maeda.
Does this mean, Daniel, you don't have full faith in Yang or James Forrest or wherever Marco Tilio may be or whoever else could come in there?
I think it's just a different option because, like, what my first option would be put Yang in and see how he does. But he is young, he's inexperienced, so maybe putting him in, it can take a minute to click. But again, you can say they have the same argument with putting Kyogo on the wing and having him up front. But I think if you put Yang in and he performs, there's no reason to take him out. But having Yang in, and then if he doesn't maybe perform to the standards we need him to, why not try something different?
Can it be worth a level of perseverance? You know, say it is Yang, because it felt like there was a spell there for the first couple of weeks where, like, Yang and Palmer, it was like half a game each or a game each, and as soon as, well, he didn't play well then, the other one would come in. And, you know, now Palmer clearly is going to have one of them nailed down. He might have anyway before this injury. Is it maybe worth, you know, you pick a Yang and you kind of persist with a bit?
You know, everyone keeps telling me that, oh, you've got to give Yang time, but, you know,
I mean, do, though, it's just undeniable,
yeah,
surely.
Yeah, but right,
the players, the players also got a response with it. By the way, I'm getting a chance now, I've got to go and take it.
Totally.
You know,
what I mean,
I'm not going to get
the point I'm making is, as an example, play Sunday, don't set the world alight. Okay, is he back out and then someone else is in? And then that doesn't...
I absolutely agree with you on that side, yeah. I do, okay. Because you can't just be judged on a half a game, 60 minutes of the game, or you do also, again, so to contradict myself a little bit, you maybe need that game time. You maybe need to feel a little bit of love and a bit of confidence, the fact that, you know what, I am going to get a run, so I'm not feeling this pressure that I need to deliver in that 60 minutes that I'm going to have at this game or that half hour. But you know what, you're at a big club. These could be the opportunities that you need to grasp with both hands. And when, like I've said it, when players get injured, there will be an opportunity there for someone, whether it be Yang, whether it be Forrest getting up or Mikey Johnson, someone's going to have to go there and grab it and take it. Again, the way like young McCausland's kind of done in the small time that he's had across the set. But it's, I do get that, but I think you need to, when you get that opportunity, that's your time now. You've been at the club a while now, it's your time to shine.
It might have to be by a process of elimination. You know, you can start off with Yang or Forrest or whoever you like, And as you said, Gordon, that there are a glut of games coming when the international break ends from then until Celtic play Rangers on the 30th of December. A glut of games. So they'll all get their chance, no doubt. But feel the love. Feel the love.
They need to feel it.
He's loving this city.
A bit of confidence.
He gets his wages. That's enough.
Come on.
He can either do it or he can't.
Okay.
Thank you to Daniel. Always like a creative solution. Paul, as a Celtic fan, that injury news to Dyson Maeda, is it something that worries you or not?
Hey, hi Gordon, hi guys. Worries me, just really adds insult to injury, didn't it, from the other night. I don't think he'll be out for 6 weeks to start with. I think he'll be back before that. And I don't agree with the last caller about putting Keogh out in the wing. No way would I do that. I would go with Yang or Forrest, try to reshuffle the pack a bit. But I don't think he'll be out for the 6 weeks.
In some ways, that's the way you should deal with these things. I know Brendan Rodgers said he'll be out for 6 weeks, but I don't think he will be. So therefore, I'm not that concerned.
Paul, did Brendan show you the scan?
No, I was at work today, got two, so I never managed to see the scan.
He's a quick healer.
So on what do you base your medical opinion then?
I don't think he'll be out for 6 weeks.
Paul, the beauty of this is see when he returns after 5 weeks and 2 days. Make sure you phone in and remind Hugh Evans of this moment. Okay. Right, that is important. I'm conscious we're a little bit pushed for time, and I know you had some other points to make, so take it away.
Okay, right. My point is, just after the kind of disappointment of the game during the week, never been a fan of Atletico Madrid because of kind of wrongs they've done Celtic in the past. But I heard Liam Scales today coming out saying that, or was it yesterday, saying Celtic were a bit naive in the way that we handled the game, things like that. Does he mean that we should be doing what? I'm not talking about the fantastic players, but I'm talking about all the cheating, the play acting, the in the referee's face, which they were doing at Celtic Park as well, by the way. The physio's involved. Everybody is involved in doing whatever they can to win. But personally, I don't want Celtic to play like that, right? But you think that's what he means? Because the other night, it's infuriating what they get away with.
But that doesn't explain a 6-0 defeat.
I don't think Paul's saying that, but just as a more general point about the dark arts, as they call it, isn't it? I mean, what's the line?
And you know what? They're the best in the business at it as well. Their manager was. It's been projected onto that team. They've got this kind of siege mentality where it's them against the world. They have done for a number of years. I think he's just signed a new contract as well. He's been at the club forever. They're just the masters at it. They kind of get together. They'll fight every decision. They will fight for every cause. And yes, as much as they're battlers, they will go down that little bit easily. They will take the yellow cards, and they will try and trick the referee into making these decisions. Again, he didn't need to be tricked the other night, but they are the absolute masters. If you want to call it the dark arts it is.
You happy with that? A little bit of cynicism? You like that stuff? You like your football dark and dangerous?
When the group was drawn, I said to you and to Kenny at the time, and Kenny laughed, I said that three words come to mind about Lazio, Feyenoord and Atletico Madrid: trouble, trouble and trouble. And that's how it's turned out. And Celtic will finish the group with 1 point because they are ill-equipped for Champions League football, and that's the beginning and end of the story.
With the utmost respect, what on earth has that got to do with Paul asking about dark arts?
I've tried to say to Paul, the dark arts, you know, European football has produced the dark arts from time immemorial. And of course it's objectionable, and of course it's infuriating.
Is it? That's Paul's question. Should you do it a bit more yourself? Are we too proud, or what's the...
Being a bit streetwise, you know, I think you need to be when you're playing against particularly the teams that are doing that way. Again, getting in the referee's ear, trying to influence things. I mean, again, Paul's even saying the physio's involved, probably trying to get involved into the lino or to the fourth official. You know, it's just the environment that he creates. It's that togetherness that's one for all for one and one for all. That's just the way they operate. So, I mean, you can learn from it. Does it need to be to those extremes? Probably not, but you can definitely learn little things from it.
I hope we get some dark arts of our own on this, because it's coming up next.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. Let's see how dark Hugh Keevans can make his performance this evening. You've got until 7 o'clock to phone 01419511025, and it could be you who plays one of these two next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans is here, Kenny Miller is alongside him, and you have still got an hour to get involved. Maybe we're maturing, maybe we are developing here.
How could I mature any further?
We are 1 hour in, and no one's taking the bait on Brendan Rodgers. I would get rid of VAR.
I took a whole hour.
Let's do it, let's dip our toe in just a second. And maybe I'm naive here, I'm showing my youthful naivety, because I do think this is not necessarily about Celtic, and therefore whatever they say I disagree with, because I'm not a Celtic fan. It feels like there is a bit of a groundswell in world football, if not to get rid of it, to at least have a serious look at where it could be improved upon. So we'll hear those comments from Brendan Rodgers next. What do you think? Would you get rid of it? What would you do at this moment in time? Give us a call right now and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. It's 3-1 to the Pundits this week, so you've not got that same pressure of rescuing or winning the week. Simon Donnelly, shame on you. The only pundit to lose, and it was on a tiebreaker as well. Marcus is in Greenock. How are you, Marcus?
Very well, thank you.
All the better for your team's upturn under the new manager, I would imagine.
Absolutely, yeah, feeling much better.
How does this work as a Rangers fan? Does it mean like you want to play Kenny because you want to be like his pal, or you'd rather humiliate Hugh Keevans? How does this work?
No, I'd rather play Kenny.
Okay, fair enough. Heads, it will be Hugh. Tails, you will get your wish. Oh, I've dropped the coin. I'm having a disaster.
Oh, come on.
It's because we've downgraded to the smaller 20 pence in this cost of living crisis. It's heads, I'm afraid. You've not got your wish, Marcus. It's Hugh. However, Kenny's got 100% record this season, and Hugh doesn't. So you've got more of a chance of winning, quite frankly.
I hadn't looked at the statistics. So.
Well, who would, apart from us sad acts in here, frankly? 55%, if you care.
Yeah.
You'll take that.
Yeah, of course.
Above average.
It's a good formula. You're in a good formula here.
55% for me is a resounding success.
And it does include a 10 out of 10. So,
yeah.
I think that puts more pressure on me to be fair.
Well, we'll find out. Let's give Kenny some greatest hits radio to listen to. Turn it up nice and loud, please, so he can't hear us. And I know you've not played before, Marcus, but it's very straightforward. 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Right. 30 seconds then starts now. Which Scottish club are known as the Red Lichties? Which Scottish club are known as the Red Lichties?
Don't know.
Hibs signed Frank Sauzy from which French club?
Marseille.
What was the name of St Mirren's old stadium?
Love Street.
Robbie Nielsen's the new manager of which American side?
No idea.
Francis Jeffers played for Rangers and which other Scottish club?
Hibs.
In what year did Aberdeen last win the Scottish League Cup?
1992.
Right, and apart, I'll give you one more. If the line did break up, I take you in good faith. Apart from Partick Thistle, what other SPFL team have Thistle in their name? Quick.
Apart from Partick Thistle.
Oh, I'm not giving you that long, Marcus. Hurry up.
Sorry.
Let's bring Hugh Keevans back.
I'm really sorry.
Oh, no. Hugh Keevans, can you hear us?
I can.
See, Marcus sounds like an honest man, but he was saying his line was breaking up and he couldn't hear us. But that's what I would
say. There was some of the dark arts
well.
Going on there. That was definitely an extra 6 or 7 seconds.
But that's
on
why.
That.
He said he's breaking up. He couldn't hear the answers. So I ended up giving him 15 questions.
Oh,
nah,
what?
I've only got 10 here. Anyway, you ready?
As I will ever be.
Okay, let's go. Which Scottish club are known as the Red Lichties?
Arbroath.
Hibs signed Frank Sauzy from which French club?
Leon.
What was the name of St Mirren's old stadium?
Love Street.
Robbie Nielsen is the new manager of which American side?
Tampa Bay Rowdies.
Francis Jeffers played for Rangers and which other Scottish club?
Oh, pass.
In what year did Aberdeen last win the Scottish League Cup?
2014.
Out with Partick, what other SPFL team have Thistle in their name?
Cali Thistle.
Okay. Marcus, what are we thinking?
Aye. He's got it there. On the Cali Thistle line, and I didn't even hear that full question again.
Give us peace.
Right, I'll give you it. We'll see how you get on. The Red Lichties are our broth, 1-0 Hugh Keevans. Frank Sozzi, Marcus said Marseille, which is exactly. I would have gone two footed for Marseille because I know he played them, but it was Montpellier.
Oof.
There you go, learn something new every day. St Mirren's old stadium, Love Street, first ground I ever went to for Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You'll sleep well tonight with that information. 2-1 to Hugh Keevans. The Tampa Bay Rowdies. Good move, that, isn't it?
Oh, terrific.
So you think, where will my next managerial job be? Tampa, Florida, that sounds all right.
Brilliant location. I'm not sure what the level.
See, that's the difference between you and I. I can care less. Do you know what I mean?
Who cares what the football's
exactly.
like?
Who cares? Anyway, 3-1 Hugh Keevans. Francis Jeffers, Rangers and
Johnson.
Motherwell. Oh, Fox in the box. 3-1 still Hugh Keevans. Aberdeen last won it 2014. So Hugh Keevans stretches his lead there. And it was Inverness Caledonian Thistle. So, I mean, Marcus, I gave you extra time. I started giving you extra points for questions that I don't even think you answered, but it still wasn't enough. I think we have to agree. Can we shake hands and agree that he beat you fair and square?
Yeah, I'll take that one.
Top nice man, film. Marcus. Thank you for sharing your time with us tonight. All the best.
Kel, thank you.
Marcus. There we are. It's phone's reception in Greenock. Terrible.
Big midweek for us, you know, Brighton beating Ajax last night. Mm-hmm. So it's been a big week.
And you had your charity do last night. How was it?
Magnificent.
I know you always like to give it a wee mention.
Yep. And I thank everyone who attended. And I thank Neil Lennon and Davey McKinnon who came along. We were in sparkling form. It was a wonderful night. And the money raised was just terrific. And believe me, we'll go to an extremely worthwhile cause for two young children.
Okay, 01419511025. That is the number you need. And you can tweet us as well at ClydeSSB. We did dangle it out there a few minutes ago and still no one. I don't know if it's like Friday night. It's like, don't want to argue about VAR. I'll do
over
that
it.
The rest of
we're
the
over
week.
It.
We're over it. But we're not over it, are we?
Not at all.
Not even remotely over it. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers and you can tell us what you think. He's been speaking today on that much loved subject. And he says if it was up to him, he'd get rid of VAR. He says once it starts spoiling matches, that's when it needs to be looked at.
No, listen, if you ask me right now, I would get rid of it.
Would you?
Absolutely. But if there's money being invested in it for the greater good of the game that is supposedly to make it better, then you have to give that every chance. But if you're asking me now, I'd go back to just pure football. And we know that where there's humans involved, you will have mistakes. We'll all make mistakes. But I'd rather accept that than what we see at the moment. So I think there's probably a lot of it is good, but the bad in it is very bad, and that's something that would have to be looked at, whether it's worth it or not. Everything always deserves a chance. But if it's spoiling the game, that's when we would have to look at it for sure.
I don't think... Let's treat this conversation at its very simplest level. Let's not worry about whether you can get rid of it or whether other countries have got it or not. Just as a sort of general desire point of view, would you agree or disagree with that?
I firmly agree with Brendan Rodgers. We're talking about a 50-year-old man here who's a serious football coach. It's not some player who's been done out of a goal by calibrated lines and decides to have his say. This is a serious man, and he thinks it's bad for the game. I just think that we're down a hopeless road now where there's some sort of 21st century need for calibrated lines and all of the other things that go on. I think it spoils the game as a spectacle for supporters, spoils it for serious professionals like Brendan Rodgers, and it's Brendan Rodgers saying it this week, it'll be someone else next week.
I think that's the important part. Kenny, Stephen Robinson did say it today, actually, you know, or certainly floated the idea. And, you know, of course, look, this is Glasgow. There'll be a cynical, and I can hear it saying, oh, Brendan, is that right? Well, you never said it when X decision went in your favour or whatever, and you're saying it this week because you don't agree with Maida's sending off. But does it not feel like there is a bit of a bigger picture forming here if you look down south? I feel like you switch on any Champions League game, you know, for a while we almost comforted ourselves by saying, ah, it's just our refs are not very good or it's teething problems, but it's really every league, it doesn't matter how long it's been in use for, it just feels like it's at least approaching a breaking point for a lot of people.
Yeah, because I think it has got, I guess, at a breaking point. I think there's so much that's been potentially wrong over the last few weeks that it seems to be coming to a head. I've never been a fan, you know that. I think the referees are making mistakes now. The VAR decisions are wrong on some occasions. I'm quite happy for the referees, again, like Brendan, to make mistakes and we move on. You know, we don't have the big long delays. We don't have going to a video assistant referee and I'm still getting the wrong conclusion. Again, completely opposite for maybe the 50,000 that are there or the 20,000 that are there in the stadium. So I think there's got to be discussion surrounding it. Can it improve? Is it just on a road to nowhere? I do think goal line technology, and I know as Hughes kept talking about the calibrated lines, for me, offside, still offside. We don't want, again, particularly with the goal line technology, we don't want to see goals given or not, or goals not being given like what I've seen in the past. So I still think there's a wee bit of the technology could be in, but in relation to every situation and these stills that they're getting put out there for these red cards, they're killing me. Absolutely killing me, because it's football. You're allowed to tackle. Not every missed time tackle is a red card. Not every stall that shows a foot against an ankle is a really bad intention tackle. You're allowed to tackle, and you know what? Football players are also allowed to get kicked. It is part of the game. So not what we've seen this week is decisions go on these still images, which is absolutely outrageous.
See, I think it also contravenes the spirit of the game now. Martin Boyle, Hibs, against Aberdeen, goal disallowed. Rightly or wrongly, in your opinion?
Is it offside one?
Yeah.
Well, he's offside.
It's offside, though.
You sure?
Well,
by the way, as sure
as you can be, though. What would the alternative view on that be based on?
I'm going to bring the Glasgow cynical view to it in this, that he looked onside.
Yeah,
you know, but the lines go down, but then you're questioning the drawer of the lines.
Well, they don't draw the lines. They need to identify the furthest point, and then the lines, as you say, calibrated and straight.
I think when you get into the 3-4 minutes, I'm thinking to myself, are they desperately trying to think of a way to disallow this goal?
Listen, I do think an increased sort of understanding, or at least an acceptance, that once you've decided then that you're going to have it for offside, you still need to then do that right. And the delays are not ideal. Everybody hates it, I think, clearly. But you're also then checking what's happening in the attacking phase of play.
Now you're not checking it. You're not looking for that free kick in the attacking. You're looking for the offside. That's it.
Yeah, but what I mean is, it's not
always... You're
not
looking for that wee handball that touched the fingernail in the build-up. Yeah, but you're looking at offside.
What I'm saying is, there's a reason that some just take a bit longer than others, and I don't like it either. I'm not saying I do, but if you're going to commit to it one way or the other, this is the point. People think that we can we'll just kind of have it, and we'll just kind of use it here, and we'll use a wee bit of common sense. Well, that's not going to work, is it? You know, if you're going to commit to doing it for offsides, you need to accept that there are going to be some scenarios that it does take a bit longer.
It's with us forever, regrettably. Because, as I say, there's a 21st century need for forensic examination of everything. So it's destroying the game. It will put people off going to football eventually, but we're stuck with it because people like wee daft lines, and on we go.
Willie is on the line. What do you think, Willie, on this?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
Would you get rid of it? Would you pull the plug if you could, Willie?
A million percent, man. It's destroying the game of football. It's like a computer game. I'll give away my season ticket to my boys because it's horrendous going.
Seriously?
I go and watching Rocks now instead of got the game. Honestly, I hate it. Totally hate it.
There's so many levels to it, I suppose, Willie. So you know, in stadium, what is that? Because you feel like you don't really know what's going on and it's taking too long.
They're sitting in the stadium, they're waiting like 5 minutes for a decision to get made, and it's just a line getting drew. I mean, look at that decision against that Celtic up at Ross County with Maeda. That was never offside. Never looked to be that. Even that they're setting the cameras for to make the lines up. You know what I mean?
This is the only bit, right? And I still feel like it needs to be understood a little bit more. Willie saying that was never offside. see if that's the key. But based on what though?
I've seen a drunk man draw better lines than that.
But they don't even draw the lines. That's the point. They don't draw them.
Exactly. That's my point. Exactly. That's my point.
No. What do you mean?
You're doing it with a computer. Mm-hmm. You know, drunk man coming out of the pub can draw a better lines than that.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. To be fair, when Willie puts it like that, I can't really. argue with his drunk man theory.
I'll tell you what. I can come in on it, right? The identifying of the furthest body point, right? And then sometimes it looks off.
Sure.
You know, it does. It doesn't look great, you know? So I know they move the lines up and it comes to the point and then the... Right, I get it, right? They're no drawing the lines.
What
all right.
I mean is, right,
but it does look a bit suspect. Suspect's the wrong word.
You'll never get that.
But offside.
You'll never get that out of people's mindset, and I wouldn't try to. I don't really care. But I think what we need to remove from our heads is this notion of, well, it looked off or it looked on. Because guess what? See if it was as simple as that. We wouldn't have VAR, would we? We would just pause the telly and we would just ask Willie, or we would just ask you, what does that look like?
That's what we would do.
You know, you wouldn't have the technology, Willie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You look guilty. You might be guilty. You're here or you're not. Do you know what I mean? It's either or not. It's got to be 100% correct decision.
Yeah, I know, but that's the bit that the technology is supposed to ensure, because otherwise we would just ask you, Willie, we would just pause the telly and say, do you think that looks off? That doesn't seem like a very sustainable practice.
It's even like, they're spoiling the game. See, even like Rangers and Hearts corner, a tug on a football tap and the two players are going up for a header. Come on, there's got to be some sort of contact. A contact sport.
Yeah, look, I think that's inevitable, because we do that on a Monday. You can go through that decision and that decision. Now, that one went for you and that one went against you. Look, that's par for the course. But I think, you know, kind of overall, is that where the concern is about what material impact is it having in the game, rather than, oh, my team was wrong on that occasion?
Material impact is it starts to bore the people who pay money to go and watch it.
Yeah, he's giving up his season.
Which is a long term danger. But the world evolves. We created the monster, and we created it because we said that VAR will end all mistakes being made. Mm-hmm. And that's the polar opposite of what has taken place. We love now to get back to the days when the referee was a balloon, and it'll maybe... You're lucky to be better next week. Now we've got the monster, and the monster's eating you alive.
And do we all take responsibility for a little bit of that? Because I don't know about you, but I never thought it would fix everything. I always knew you would still have arguments.
I don't think we were prepared for this level of disagreement, though.
Yeah, no, maybe not, because this is the kind of fear of the unknown. But if you went into this thinking it was going to fix everything, maybe that's your fault. Well.
I just think that fans, and by the way, pundits included, were looking at thinking that there's certain things, when you look back on it, that second, third, fourth time, you're going to get
so
it
obvious,
right. You know, you're going to get it right. That's not been the case. It's just not. We've not even talked about the handball scenario yet. Yeah, you're talking about the ruling, you're talking about the word of the rules. It's just, there's so much wrong with the decisions that are getting made, with the subjective nature of... most of the situations, by the way. It's not the black and white offside or goals. It's the subjective nature. We're still getting the same things wrong.
Right, keep your calls coming. I think we've lit the fuse. I can see the phone lines going quite nicely there. So 01419511025, Twitter as well. And I think this is important. Again, balance and maybe a bit of sort of calm thought on it. Craig says VAR's still got more pros than cons. It's got more correct decisions than could ever have been made by the human eye of the officials. Maybe worth bearing that in mind. Before we go any further, let me just remind you, if you head over to Clyde1.com, fire up your smartphone, Hugh Keevans. We've got a range of presents to hand out just in time for Christmas with our online competition, Presents Under the Tree. You can win an exclusive 13-person Grand Prix VR experience at VR Simulators in Glasgow City Centre. You can't drive either. This is totally wasted on you, but you could go to that. It's the perfect place for you. Drive, crash into whatever you like, test it out. Tell you what, 74th birthday, you and me, VR simulators in Glasgow.
Are you mad?
Yes. It's the ultimate 5D racing experience. Full motion seats. Not tempted you yet?
I'll stick with Angela Rippon and Strictly Come Dancing.
Wind generation, which I thought just happened when you ate your beans before you came in here to the show, but it means something different in VR simulators. Over 185 cars, 100 tracks to choose from. It's a great day out with the family. Stag do's, hen do's, party nights, all the rest of it. So check out Clyde1.com for more, and we'll take more of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here at 01419511025. It's Twitter at Clyde SSB. I'm getting your thoughts on VAR for the 500th time already and counting. I've just been handed a teaser for you two. Well, I say just been handed, it's been here all night, but it's the first time I've bothered my backside to look at it. My apologies. I think this is extraordinarily hard.
Oh dear.
I'm going to really, really cut down.
Why are they getting the number of answers,
right? Because and then we'll see how we go, because then we can always open it up. But if I was to try and give you all 10 here, I think game's a bogey. So thanks to Kevin Godfrey for your imagination on the teaser. Let's get the questions set up.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
Right, Kevin was looking for the last 5 from each team. Let's go the last 2 from each team and just see how we get on, right? Can you name the last 2 players from Celtic and the last 2 players from Rangers to score in an Old Firm game? That bit's easy. This is ridiculous. But their first name and their surname end with the same letter. I had to read the question quite a few times to make sure.
Sorry, wait a minute.
I know.
First name and last name end. All right, okay. Right. Jermaine Defoe.
I don't think you're getting this question.
No, I'm not.
That would.
First name, Jermaine ends in E. Yeah. Last name, Defoe ends in E. That might not be the last one.
That would work for me. Do you know what's disturbing about it? He's not on this list, but it has to be. Because the guy's after. Come on, Kevin. What have you done to me? What have we done here?
Read that out again.
First name and surname end with the same letter. Jermaine and Defoe ending in E.
So I think you're getting the question wrong here, or less. We've all just got it wrong. That works for me, no?
Brilliant. Thanks, Kevin, for sending a really complex question then leaving that most obvious recent. But I'm giving you that. Because he did score one, didn't he?
Well, Scotty Arfield overed it and he.
He
did score one. He definitely scored one. That was that goal. It was Arfield scored
that
one.
Sure?
Did he maybe never scored an Old Firm?
You know, we've actually got a couple of guests in the studio tonight, right? And as soon as I read that question, one of them was waving at me, going, Jermaine Defoe. So you're in the same wavelength, anyway.
I think he did, anyway.
So there we go. We'll see.
We'll get there.
We think we'll do a steward's inquiry on that one, but I think you might be right. Let's bring in Peter, who's on the line. How's it going, Peter?
Hello, thanks.
What are you thinking tonight then?
Just on the VAR, obviously. It's getting to the point of absolute ridiculous as we all kind of get that gist of it. But you look at rugby, right? They can make decisions instantly. There's none of this 7, 8, 10 minutes waiting on decisions. You've got a panel of professional referees who make a decision. They don't have to call in the referee on the pitch to look at it, and it's done instantly. On the other point as well, I think on the football side of things, we've got 3 professional referees sitting behind a monitor. They can easily look at it, make a decision, pass it on. Again, for the freezing side of things, I don't think we should do still pictures at all. It should be shown in real time to the professionals and make a decision, just as this bit's live football, and do away with all the nonsense. You've been in rugby, we've got 30 guys piling on top of a ball and we can make a decision instantly. You know what I mean? And we just can't do it on the football side of things. Just, I think it's just ridiculous.
Just very quickly, some sensational stuff that I really should have spotted, that everyone's just tweeting me so many tweets that Jermaine doesn't have an E at the end of his name.
Exactly, that was my point.
There we go.
Come on now.
Anyway, Hugh, I'm always dozens of tweets
about
this.
That's madness.
I just took Kenny Miller's word for it. I blame him.
I can't spell, obviously. By the way, Jermaine Pennant does.
What relevance does that have to this conversation?
Right, anyway, back to VAR. I'm always just a touch hesitant on the comparisons to rugby, because they're very different sports. Like, you know, rugby does stop more often than football does, and maybe that lends itself to it in certain ways that football won't. Peter says there's three referees sitting behind the screen. Don't mean to get pedantic, but it's a VAR, an assistant VAR, and a replay operator. Just so that we're accurate. But this is the problem. Once you decide you're going to do it, because Peter's saying just make it quicker, just look and just do it. Uh-huh. But once you've decided you're going to do it, and once your rules are in place, you know, let's forget about offsides from 5 minutes ago. But you do need to go back to the attacking phase of play. If you're going to say something's a penalty, say, right, fine, okay, I think that's a penalty, but was there an offence in the lead up? So it's all well and good saying just look and just make an instant decision, but I think in reality that's maybe harder.
One of the many managers now against VAR is Ange Postecoglou, who said that we had that unbelievable game with Chelsea the other night. His big criticism is that games are now being refereed not in the stadium in which they are being played, but they're being refereed by someone miles away in a studio. And it's just one of the unacceptable facets of VAR.
Yeah, I mean, take Peter's point. I think that is the frustration is the delay. But I've yet to hear like a proper good quick fix for that, Kenny, because if you're going to get it right, you need to get it right.
Yep.
We've seen the biggest, highest profile example of VAR gone wrong. We all convince ourselves it's something our team's been done by, but is the one between Spurs and Liverpool.
Yep.
That is catastrophic.
Yep.
Maybe it wouldn't have happened if they weren't under so much pressure to do it quicker.
This is the
thing. We would all like it speeded up, but if you're going to decide that you're going to do it right, where's the balance?
You know, you've seen the counter arguments to both over the last kind of in the last month for sure, that things need to be quicker. You can't be having these 4 or 5 minute delays. Again, there was one just last week that was really, really long, but you need to get it right, you know. And I think referees now, again, VAR has put them in a position where they are under severe pressure with everything that's went on to make sure the communication's right. Again, the wording of it's right, the signalling of the decisions is right. They're under so much pressure, so they're probably double-checking, triple-checking their decisions to make sure that it is. They're probably, again, double-checking the language that's been used and the command that they're actually giving to the referee that the right decision is going to be awarded and not the wrong one like it was in that high-profile error. So they're under so much pressure. I'm with the rest of the guys. Let's just get rid of it.
Here's the thing. Before VAR came in, I used to always say to people, do not tweet me a still image of a tackle. Just don't, to make your point. I hate it, right? And Peter's saying that, you know, that it shouldn't be looked at. I would imagine if we had a ref and phone in, if you're listening, whoever referees are out there, they would say, though, that they need to see the point of contact. And that's not necessarily just a tackle. Just a handball, for instance. What's one that would... Ryan Strain against Rangers a couple of weeks ago, remember that? Everyone agreed, so that's why I've picked that one. Nobody's in any doubt that was a handball, wasn't it? Maybe came across, but they still need to kind of stop it at that point, make sure, did it hit his hand? And the only way to establish that is to pause it and show you the still image.
I'm still not sure on that, because I think I've seen one where it was camera was coming across the whole box and the ball's placed in front of someone's arm. By the way, I didn't know that hit the player's arm. It maybe looked like it was, but there could have been distance by. So again, I just think the still, we're talking red cards here. We're talking yellows getting upgraded to reds that are based on that still and that point of contact. And I'll go back to it. I just think that you're allowed to miss. He's a player. You're allowed. So for instance, the Celtic Ross County one, James Brown's allowed to try and tackle that. And by the way, you know what Yang's also allowed to do? To nick in there first with the toe and just dip it. And where the ball was, his ankle was now. And that's where the contact is. Is it a red card? And you know what? There might be a million people think it is. I don't think it is. I think it's really, really harsh.
I'm surprised you've gone for that one. Tackle. I feel like there was more debatable ones recently.
Well, there is. Marcus Rashford.
I think once you catch him so high, it definitely ticks that endangering an opponent box.
The ankle, is it on the ankle? Is that high?
I feel like James Brown's was pretty high.
I'm not sure.
Well, for me, Brown was a certain red card.
I'm not sure.
I said it at the time. But, you know, this level of debate, argument, disagreement, you know, the game of football wasn't meant to be like this, and it will gradually but definitely drive people away from the game because they'll just get fed up with it all.
And already maybe has. You, we've had a caller on saying he's not even having his season ticket any longer.
What are you thinking, Peter? You know, so is it for the bin completely, or you're still confident a couple of tweaks?
No, I think it's getting to the point that it should be binned as well. But just going back to the point of officials watching it on a monitor, if you've got three officials watching it, surely they made a unanimous decision. It's done and dusted. There's no need for the referee to run over, make his decision, and change the decision that they're maybe looking at. It should just be, if the three guys, two say aye, two say no, end of.
I don't know whether subconsciously or otherwise, but I think the standard of refereeing has slipped.
Because of it. Yep. Because of everywhere.
That. Yeah, right. Everywhere. I just see decisions now, or not decisions, I see things that go on, I think, how can you not possibly have spotted that?
Here's the only thing, Kenny, about Peter's democracy that he wants to roll in, though. We can't have it always. Everyone says the one thing that we can't do and we need to try and get away from is, you know, re-refereeing the game, and the ref needs to have the final say. Now, I get why we're all cynical and think, well, actually, I don't know if that does happen, because or what kind of leads to that happening, because if you're called over to the monitor, you're probably going to, you know, reverse your decision. But if that's our, if that's the bedrock of it, that, you know, we need to at least try and keep it close to the referee's final decision, we can't have the two VAR officials and the replay operator voting on it. That's not the solution, surely.
No, it's definitely not. I mean, re-refereeing the game, that's exactly what it is doing. You know, like the clear and obvious phrase that was used, there's certain things that they're not clear and obvious because we're debating them.
Well, that phrase is what's killed it from day one, isn't it? Because what you think is clear and obvious, I don't.
Absolutely, because again, it's just a subjective thing. In terms of a voting scenario, you've got three guys all sitting and you've got to think that they're going to come to a similar conclusion.
And by the way, one's a replay operator. Don't involve that poor guy who's employed by Hawkeye to work the technology. That's the job for you, I think. Imagine it. Imagine the chaos that would ensue if you were pressing the buttons. Ryan Clark Kent says, refereeing in a VAR room miles away real time is still a far better solution than re-refereeing retrospectively via a compliance officer, but that's not exactly the same thing, because that's only going to come in for, you know, like violent conduct or you know, really terrible tackles. You're not getting a retrospective penalty 3 weeks later from a compliance officer. So it's not one or the other necessarily in that regard. What about Chris on the line? Chris, what's your take on it?
Yeah, hi there, guys. How are you tonight?
Good. You?
Yeah, I'm all good, mate. I'm all good. I'm just basically calling up in regards to, I've seen people moaning the last couple of days about the Maeda, the still image and the still tackle and stuff like that, the because the image was a still image and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, my point is, it was a still image of the tackle. It wasn't photoshopped. It was the tackle. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, totally. But look, I'm going to try something here that'll never work. Forget about Maeda for a second, right? Because I don't really mind now, and I'm trying to make it a bigger picture. Any still image surely loses context, though, of what it is.
Well, it's a still image of the tackle, but it's not a still image of
I know that, Chris, right? Tackle. But to state the obvious, right? If I go over, if I wheel my chair over to Hugh Keevans, and I very gently, very, very gently place the sole of my foot, the studs if I had them on his shin, and I take a picture of it, you have no idea whether I've smashed his shin with force or whether I've just placed it there like I have done.
I understand that. But I think I still think my Yeda's foot was high. I think it was a 50-50 if it was a red or not. Mm. A lot of people saying it was definitely not a red, but no, I think it was a 50-50 if it was a red or not. But
the callers are proving your point that this inevitably comes back to things that happened to Celtic and Rangers. Instead of examining the bigger picture here, I understand that the point you made earlier, that inevitably there has to come a point where you freeze the frame. And that's not to say that they've taken the decision on that.
Maybe you don't for tackles. I'd understand that. And Kenny, if you want to debate this one incident, we can do, because I get it's been the week's big talking point, but they're saying it down south. You look at some of the chaos, Stephen Robinson saying it. But if you're talking that one incident, you disagree with Chris. You think Maeda's was a yellow and you move on.
Absolutely, yeah. It's another still image, Marcus Rashford last night. Again, once you understand what he's doing, it's again, so we're taking it away from the Rangers-Celtic thing in our game. He's tried to block off, he's planting the leg. Again, he catches the player. Is that a red card? Probably not. Not for me.
I like Craig's take on it because it's just very abstract. Not to be rude, but with the amount of money players are paid, I'd hope they have a bigger influence on teams winning football, not a subjective decision made by the ref. Sort of get that, but then at the same time.
But unfortunately, there's a ref on the pitch as well that has to make a decision with another ref in his ear.
And that's my point, Kenny, that too many referees now are getting away with it because subconsciously they're thinking, well, I'll be bailed out by the people along the road. But the things that they miss, the perfectly obvious things that they miss now, I think it either the standard has plummeted or they are subconsciously thinking, I've got the default position. I've got the guys back in the studio.
I suppose on one hand, it can be good to have. Did you see the penalty Aberdeen got given against them last night? Luckily, it was overturned. We were delighted VAR was there because it was ludicrous. Anyway, let's knock that in the head for now. Some good thoughts coming in. And thank you to all the people on Twitter who've inevitably just spammed the timeline arguing about Celtic and Rangers. We try sometimes to look bigger picture, but we know what our bread and butter is here.
Correct.
On Life on Super
I'm
Scoreboard.
Laughing at what you said earlier because, you know, I've told you the story. At home, we have a microwave where my wife put a post-it on it to say, press start and don't touch anything else.
That sounds about right for you, I must say.
I'm a VAR operator.
Not as many people. There's a close-run thing, though, on Twitter. How many people are tweeting about that? And how many have told me that Jermaine does not have an E at the end? I'm sorry, Ricky, yeah, and 500 others. We've got it now, we think. So it's the last two players, that's it, from each Celtic and Rangers, whose first name and surname end with the same letter they've scored in an Old Firm game.
Nacho Novo.
He's like third on the list.
Lee Wallace.
Yes, okay, Lee Wallace. Ooh. Good, right.
Chris Commons.
Yes. Better this than I thought.
Wow.
John Hartson. Further
third,
down the list.
Third on Celtic's
yeah.
list.
Right, we'll go to the first three. So we'll call Nacho and John Hartson correct then, yeah?
If you say so, you've now made the question harder, okay? Yeah. Right, we'll get the rest of the answers and more of your calls if we can next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. I think could extend this show to about midnight. Look at all the tweets that are coming in about VAR. Coop number 11 says it's Clyde SSB and Gordon Duncan who don't understand the rules again. It is of no consequence whether a player is tapped, feathered or smashed with studs up. The rules state if endangering an opponent or serious foul play, you are off. That's it. There is no nuance. So if you're tapped or feathered, you're endangered. I Coop's rule book sounds different to mine. So if I tap you on the shin, you're endangered.
Has he misspelt? Does he mean tarred and feathered?
I don't know. It's that time of year. You ready to watch Home Alone soon? Gotta be, yeah. Honestly, that's always the first one that goes
always
on, isn't it?
Always ready, yeah.
Gotta be, anyway. Right, how are you doing on this teaser? It's just kind of grown arms and legs. I tried to make it only four answers right. for you, just so that it was easier, but you've actually surprised me.
Thanks.
You're blowing through this. So we're looking for the last however many you want on each team, Rangers or Celtic players, to score in an Old Firm game, but their first name and their surname end with the same letter. You've given me Chris Commons, Lee Wallace, Nacho Novo.
Greece is the word. Georgios Samaras.
Well done, Kenny.
Yeah, we've done John Hartson, so we've thrown him back in as well. I think there's one again. I don't think he is. So Barry Mackay.
He's an IE. The problem is
so
Kevin
Nacho.
Kevin who sent into it. Kevin sent the question in and he's put Barry Mackay, but he's IE for Barry, so he does not count.
Dado Purcell.
Brilliant. Okay.
So yeah.
I don't even know how many we're looking for. We'll just see what you can come up with.
We've done it. There we go.
We'll see how many you can come up with between now and the end of the show. These weeks are great because there's so much going on with Europe, and then you just throw something sort of random and bigger like VAR into the mix. And it means that it's 10 to 8 on a Friday night, and we've not really discussed the games this weekend. Well, it's going to be a fascinating weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, great. Motherwell Hearts immediately strikes me as being a very good game. Motherwell, I thought, were in deep, deep trouble when Avril's uncle was two up during the week. And I could see all the stats, 1 point out of 24 for Stuart Kettlewell, etc., etc. But they came back remarkably well. And they're playing a Hearts team who, you know, they're just underperforming. And they've got some real tough games coming up. Stephen Naismith is on a negative roll. And I do think he'll welcome for part tomorrow.
And I think both need a win. Both Wrighton need a win. Obviously St Johnston again after throwing that away at home to Ross County, a team that are just above them. It's a chance for them to go win. St Mirren again digging out, keeping this wonderful start of the season against the Hibs team through the week. So they're away to Dundee. A Dundee team are doing well as well at this moment. And Hibs Kilmarnock, you know, there's a lot at stake with these games tomorrow. A lot at stake. There's so much tight from even St Johnston to getting that win. It's so tight in that kind of bottom nine teams.
You played for the club, Kenny. Only a matter of time before the first Hibs supporter says, wait a minute,
what we're actually doing here.
This guy keeps drawing games but never wins any. So I think Hibs against Kilmarnock is very important for Nick Montgomery.
See, on Motherwell Hearts, because we kind of debated earlier in the week, you know, we always say pressure. You know, what does that mean? How much of it? And does that actually mean a manager's job is under threat? That's how most people sort of link it. But someone like Stuart Kettlewell, so much goodwill in the bank, a long period of good stuff followed by a shorter period of bad stuff, gets the draw the other night. And then again, Stephen Naismith, I don't know, he's maybe not got the same amount of goodwill.
No.
Previously, I don't know if the Hearts, I don't know if as many Hearts fans would defend Stephen Naismith as the number of Motherwell fans that would defend Stuart Kettlewell. Right. Does Stephen Naismith need a result more in that one?
The Hearts supporters, and they are entitled to do so, think of themselves as the third biggest club in the country. And, you know, also the amount of money that these Hearts supporters pay to have Hearts running on a weekly basis, and they expect and are due better than they are getting. And that's why goodwill in the bank amounts to nothing in football, because they'll close your account down if they don't like what's happening.
See, this is the problem, because these sound bites sound so great and they're so dramatic and poetic, but it has to count for something, obviously. You have to take a body of work into account, surely, and see how long...
But he doesn't have one, though.
Who?
Yeah, he's talking about Stephen Naismith.
Stuart Kettlewell,
absolutely. When you look at the big sample size he's got since he came in, I don't know what he'll be at now. What is he, 12 games into this season? What was it, about 14 last year? About 25, 26 games. His body works good. But let me tell you, in football, in this day and age, and I really like the work that Stuart Kettlewell's done, and I like the way his team's played, even in defeat. I think St Mirren, Rangers, Celtic, there were some decent positive performances in there. But when you go 8 games without a win, you are going to be under a bit of pressure to win and turn the corner quickly. So, and he'll know that.
Yeah, it's a big day tomorrow for sure. We've got those 4 Premiership games, and then our very own Super Sunday. We don't get it too often.
Yeah.
We used to when they were both in the Europa League. But Livy Rangers live on TV, followed by Celtic Aberdeen.
Highly intriguing. As I say, for me, you know, Rangers will beat Livingston. Rangers are on a roll, and there's tremendous confidence there. And Livy are the exact opposite. They just keep losing now.
Added Brian Rice to the coaching staff last night.
Yeah, a good man, but you know, you can't score at one end and keep them out at the other.
Dry.
So, you know, the gap is 8 points right now between Celtic and Rangers. By 2:15, and Celtic's kick off against Aberdeen, the gap will be reduced to 5 points. And, you know, Aberdeen did better in their game away from home in Europe than Celtic did away from home in Europe. They have the problem of recovery time, but they're a decent-ish kind of team, Aberdeen, and that's a very intriguing one for me now.
Yeah, you've ruined lots of weekends with your early predictions, it must be said. Let's quickly try and finish this teaser. Right, let's call it the last 4 from each then, right? Oof. We've settled. The last 4 from each, Celtic and Rangers, 4 from each, who've scored in an Old Firm game, their first name, their surname, end with the same letters, like Chris Commons, Georgios Samaras, John Hartson, Lee Wallace, Nacho Novo, and Dado Purcell. So 1 from each, if we can.
I'm toiling now. I've done a lot of donkey work on this one.
Okay, well, do you know, funnily enough, it's the same surname for both teams.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, it's the same surname. Spelt the same and everything, with a P in the middle. Some people don't have the P. Thompson.
So Stephen Thompson.
No. Alan Thompson.
No, Alan Thompson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Thompson.
Kevin. There we go.
Simple.
Simple.
Job done.
See, if you listen to that, listen. The Super Scoreboard music hasn't even started yet,
flying.
And you've finished the full-time teaser. That is unheard of. I'm actually wondering why we're so late tonight. Usually George Bowie's desperate to get in and kick us off air, but there we are. We are done. So thank you very much to Hugh Keevans and to Kenny Miller. Thanks for all your calls and your tweets, and for those of you who are keeping us right out there on Twitter as well. Much appreciated. We are back tomorrow, as Hugh said. 4 hours on Saturday, 6 on Sunday. How much Hugh Keevans can someone have in their weekend? Seriously.
Not enough.
The mind boggles. So it's 2:00 tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson will be here as well. Make sure you join us. And then on to Sunday. What a day that is going to be. In the meantime, though, you might as well stay right there, because I know Hugh Keevans gets the party started to an extent on a Friday, but it's only right that he steps aside and leaves it to George on the GBX. That's up next.